Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I am excited and blessed tonight that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me here at the Master's Table to hear and see what God has to say unto his people. Amen. Just want to say that I am increasingly excited. I'm touched, and I am most humbled by all of you who continuously support this ministry that God has given us to do. And we continuously pray for you, amen, and speak a blessing over each and every one of your lives, amen, and over your family's life and over your ministry life, amen, and that you will fulfill everything that God has commanded for you to do in the earth. But before I get going with tonight's message, amen, I just want to go into the announcement and then immediately following prayer and then right into the Word of God on tonight. Amen. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website to learn more about us and even pray about becoming a vision partner, a prayer partner, and even helping us to support financially to helping us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. For any of you that would like prayer requests, amen, any praise reports, or if you would like myself or my husband, Apostle McQueen, amen, to come and minister at your church, as you're on our website, go to our contact page, follow all the instructions there, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Fulfilling Destiny, has a Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page. Like us there. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Even let us hear praise reports to know what God is doing in your life. We are excited. Amen. We want to connect with you. Amen. And most of all, we love you. We love you. And we love you again. All right. Those are the announcements for this evening. Let's pray. And then let us get right into the Word of God. Father, right now, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we just praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Amen. We just lift up your holy name. You are mighty. You are great. You are greatly to be praised. There is no one like our God. We just magnify. We thank you, Jesus. You are the Holy One. You are the Mighty One. You are the Great One, and we are humbled in your presence, God. Even now, as we, your people, stand before you, we just humble ourselves in our spirit before you. Father, we ask that you would forgive us this day, all of our sins. Forgive us for all of our unrighteousness, God. We, as your ambassadors, stand before you, ask that you would just wash us clean in the blood of Jesus. Wash us and make us whole once again. Wash out, remove all the iniquity, remove all the doubt, the fear, the unbelief. Remove all of this flesh, God, that stinks in your nostrils. Father, I'm asking now in Jesus' name, give us a heart of flesh on today. Take out the stony heart. Holy Spirit, shine your light of truth on us this evening. Anything that is not like you, God, we ask that you would break it to light and that we will repent of it and that you would take it out in the name of Jesus. Oh God, even now I ask, Father, that you would place in us a spirit of obedience, obedience to your word. You said if we are willing and obedient that we will eat the good of the land. We will, we shall, we must walk in obedience to your will and your way this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for what you're doing. We thank you for raising up your apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, evangelists. We thank you for the fivefold, the voices that you're raising up in this hour, God, that are going to bring the church, the body of Christ, into the spirit of unity, Ephesians 4 and 11 all the way down. We thank you now, God, for what you're getting ready to do in the earth. Now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that as we come before you, we just ask that you will remove the scales off of our eyes, that you will unstop our deaf ears. God, we ask right now that you will begin to allow us to begin to speak those things that be not as though they were, that we would begin to speak life over our own situation, that we realize the power that rests on the inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have to realize our power that is in us, you living on the inside of us, the anointing, the Christos living on the inside of us. God, we thank you right now for that. Now, Father, even now, we lift up our president. We lift up those that are in government and leadership right now before you. Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would surround these men and women of God with godly, integral people, men and women that will begin to pour into them what is right, what is truth, men and women that will tell them the truth of the situation, that will not throw rocks and hide their hands, God, in the name of Jesus, men and women, a cabinet that surrounds them, Lord, that will not begin to speak into their ear just folly, things that they want them to hear, but things that they need to hear as it pertains to leading this country in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we have to pull down the spirit of fearmonger. We have to pull down the spirit of fear, the spirit of self-righteousness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you said that you lift one up and you take one down. Father, the heart of the king is in your hand on tonight. We believe it to be so in Jesus' name. Father, even now we thank you for what you're getting ready to do. Anoint these lips of clay. Help me to speak your word on tonight. Take out the fluff. Take out my opinion, God. Let it be your word that comes forth tonight out of my belly in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Set me on fire and set your people on fire. Anoint this word on tonight, God. Let it hit someone's spirit. Let it charge them. Let it put a charge to them. Let it take them to a new place. Let it shake off the old. Let it renew our minds in the name of Jesus. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for where you're taking us. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah to God. And we thank him, and we thank him, and we thank him. Glory to your name, Lord. You are the Holy One to be blessed. You are the Holy One to be blessed. Just give him some praise right wherever you are, whether it's in your car, in your kitchen, in your living room, if you're playing with your kids, whatever you're doing, you just need to put those hands together just a couple times and begin to bless the Holy One of Israel. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we must bless him. We must bless him. We must bless him. We must bless him. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes. I thank you, God. I thank you. Amen, amen. Well, people of God, tonight what I want to rest on this evening. Just this evening, what I want to rest on, as the Lord was speaking to me, we know, and for many of you that have seen or have just came off of seeing, let me say that, the verdicts that have gone forth in the state of Florida, and how we have one gentleman that has killed and has gotten off scot-free, as they say, and then we have one gentleman that has gone to prison for 75 years, but not actually for killing a young man, but just in the attempt of trying to kill the others. And I realize, people of God, that we live, or I should say, racism is not dead. Racism is not dead. And we must realize also that as we are coming close to Jesus' return, that the earth is groaning, the earth is moaning, waiting for the sons of God to manifest. And I will continuously say this because we have to really come into knowing who we are, and we really have to come into operating this word in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the saints of God, not everybody, but some. Let me make that clear, because it's not everyone. But I'm tired of some saints that just continuously talk about the problem and talk about how can they do us like this and how can they do us like that. When God has put inside of you the power, I'm ready to raise up off this chair that I'm sitting on. The Holy Ghost, who lives only inside of us, has given us the power over the enemy. You have power. And for some reason, I believe that the saints don't hear or recognize that we have power. We get too caught up in, well, this is what they're doing to me, and I don't understand why they're on my back, and why is this happening, and we need to, I just don't know what to do, and I'm proud, and they just bothering me, and I don't know, I'm ready to walk off this job, and I'm ready to do this and do that. But not one time have you decided to get on your face and cry out to God about the situation, and not so much crying out to him as, Lord, what they going to do to me? They going to get rid of me. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm not so much speaking of that, because we do have that time. We are in this flesh, and there are moments that you are just going to ball up and just cry, just as a child would cry to his parent, because the struggle is real. Amen? But after you've done all that, somewhere inside of you, the Holy Spirit needs to be rehearsing the word of God in you. And I come to find that a lot of us have been sitting up in church hearing the word, but the word has not gotten on the inside of us. And so now that it's time to do battle, now that it's time to do war, We don't have the wherewithal to do anything, and we're trying to remember and trying to put two scriptures together, getting in the Bible and can't even find the book of Genesis because we're so scared and wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in our emotions. We don't know where we're coming or going, and then the enemy says, I've got you right where I want you because now you're in confusion and now your emotions are running amok. Therefore, I can toss you to and fro just like every wind of doctrine, and all the time you're all going through all of these changes instead of keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. The prophet is, you don't know. Oh, yeah, I know. Everybody's struggling. As I said before, the struggle is real, and the struggle is real for everybody. Each one of us are going through different changes, different circumstances, different issues in our lives. We're all going through something, but in that struggle, your faith, help me, Holy Ghost, your faith needs to rise up out of the ashes. Somewhere you got to believe God more than you believe that problem. Somewhere you got to believe God more than you believe that issue. Somewhere you got to believe God more than you believe them coming to shut your lights off. Somewhere you got to believe God more than you believe that sickness. Somewhere you got to believe God more than you believe that man or that woman leaving you. Somewhere you got to believe God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tell me you say, but you don't even, can't even put a scripture. Can't even say Jesus wept. What is happening on today? And we have to get a full understanding of it, people of God, is that the winds are blowing. The waves are rising. They are. Ain't no doubt about it. They are. But you can't be so focused on the winds and the waves that you forget who called you out there to begin with. And we have gotten, as a people, so in our own strength, in our own well-being, we have the motto of, I made this, I did this, I do this, that we forget that we have a mission. We forget we have a task. We forget we have an assignment. We forget that we even have to deal with the gates of hell. I'm getting to the scripture. Just hold on a second. Just hold on a second. You got to realize that you have power on the inside of you. You have to realize that in your mouth, God has given you victory. God has given you deliverance. God has given you his words by his word. By his word that proceedeth out of his mouth, let every word be established. If you are speaking his words, then you are speaking in his authority. Therefore, whatever you're speaking to, it has to line up with what he says according to his word. But you got to make sure, I've got to make sure that I'm speaking his word, and I'm not trying to speak his word for my own selfish gain and own kingdom building of self-righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? Because too often we have made, instead of us being a people who walk in humility, instead of us being a people who walk in integrity, being saved and speaking in tongues, is just one facet of it. There is a flip side, and that flip side is that we also have to be created in his likeness or his character. And nowadays, Amen. When you look at the body of Christ, when you look at some Christians, you cannot tell if they even go to church. You don't know them versus the person who is unchurched. There's no difference. There's no mark up on them except that you happen to cross them and see them at a church, or you just happen to mention church and then they tell you, oh, I go here, so-and-so, so-and-so's church. But there's no power. Because there's no power, then things remain the same. Why do you think, amen, that God has you where he has you? He doesn't have you there just because he's got nothing better to do with his time. He has you on that job. He has you in that situation. He has you in that circumstance. He has you in that place, amen, so that you can be a change agent somewhere. The light of God, the light of truth, amen, needs to be shining in your life. Anything that is opposite of that, you need to speak into the atmosphere and begin to shut things down. You need to be opening up your mouth and begin to turn things around. And you don't have to do all what your pastor does and standing up on a chair and you don't have to do all that. All he said was speak. Speak. And you can get in a corner as you're walking and under your breath and say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over every situation in here. I speak and command everything to shut down. And watch stuff turn. And watch stuff turn. We as Christians do not have time to be sitting up here talking about the problem. We're too busy talking about the issue. We're too busy trying to reason. We're too busy trying to figure it out. I don't understand why they're messing with me. Why are they not messing with you? You are already marked. You're marked. You're marked. I didn't say it felt good. I don't like being messed with like anybody else. I know you certainly don't like being messed with. You don't want your kids, your family, anybody that's around you, what belongs to you. You don't want the devil touching it. You don't want nobody else touching it. But when they do, you better have the wherewithal in you to pick up a sword and get to slicing and dicing. But you can only do that when you have relationship. That means you got to spend time with the master. That means you got to get in your face, on your face, and humble yourself, amen, and let the Holy Ghost shine the light on you, amen, because we're all not perfect. We're all being perfected, matured into his image. So you can't go down here on the throne, getting down here, Lord, I did this, and Lord, I did that, and Lord, you know, I've been this, and then thank you, thank you, thank you. No, sometimes you got to get down there and say, Lord, I humble myself in your presence. Lord, I know in this nature I am wicked. Lord, I know I said. Lord, I know I thought. Lord, I know I did. Lord, I know I didn't do. Love the person with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You got to go before him, humbled, broken. You got to go before him and allow him, amen, to speak to those things that we don't want to deal with. But as you're doing all of that, and I'm going to segue right into the scripture, but why are you saying I got to be broken? Why are you saying I got to be humble? Well, let's go here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting at the 12th verse. Second Chronicles chapter 7, starting at the 12th verse. Reading out the New King James, and the Bible says this. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now this is Solomon building the temple that his father David wanted to build but was not able to because he had too much blood on his hands. So David set it up and made sure that everything was in place, the building blocks and all that were in place that was going to be needed. And then the task was given to his son Solomon. Remember last week when you were with me, I talked about procession. God uses one to build the foundation, and the one that you pour into, amen, whether male or female, needs to build on top of that foundation. Here it is, perfect example. Now here's Solomon coming in to build on top of his dad, David's foundation. He said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. 13, when I shut up heaven, there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Now here's where I really want to touch on tonight. He said, this is God talking. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer, made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And the word of the Lord is blessed. So we wonder, well, God, what's going on? Why isn't there anything changing? Why isn't there nothing shifting? I don't understand. What's happening? We're supposed to be praying. In the life, the more we praying, the more things are going astray. Well, people of God, we got to ask ourselves a few questions. And one of those questions is, are we humbling ourselves? He said, if my people, talking about the church, talking about us, the faith sanctified, filled with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on fire running for our lives, 99 won't do. Or I should say 99 and a half won't do. Talking about us. And I'm not talking about just a particular denomination. I'm talking about the body in general, all of us. He says, if you, my people, are who are called by my name, those who are saved, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he's saying you are now no longer yours, but you are mine. If you are called by my name, Isaiah 43 says, it's everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I've made him. So if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that scripture right there, Isaiah 43 and 7, says it right there. God created you for his glory, and he formed you for himself. Why? Because he has a purpose for you. You're alive for a reason. If he saved you, you have a purpose. So if you still sitting here talking about, I don't know who I is, I don't know who I be, God ain't the author of confusion, baby. For some of us, he's already told you who you are. You just don't like what he said. So you're trying to do everything to recreate yourself. It's too many people that are trying to do professional makeovers in the body of Christ. We don't like who we are. We don't like who God said who we are. So we're trying to become somebody else. So we're trying to do a professional makeover. Let me create an image of myself that I like. Let me market myself. We have too many marketing schemes and plans going on. And we're doing all this marketing, but nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. And I know somebody out there was like, well, Prophet, somebody's getting somebody doing something. Yes, I know that somebody is doing something, but I'm not talking to the people who are doing something, because most of the time the ones that are doing something, they don't have time to, they won't even be in this conversation, period. My job is to talk to those who aren't doing anything. You're too anointed to be sitting there on the couch. You're too anointed to be sitting there watching all those reality TV shows that do nothing but fill you up with garbage and fear and doubt and unbelief and hate and all these lustful demonic spirits that are coming through the television. You're too anointed, amen, to be sitting there living underneath your privilege. You're too anointed. I just read it right here, Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. God created you for his own mere pleasure, his own glory. How dare you sit there in a corner? How dare you sit in a room with the doors closed and the windows shut and the shades shut? Talking about, I don't know. I don't know, maybe. I don't know who I am. I might be called, I just want to be right here, just serving, just let me serve. We're all servants. Let me help you. Let me help you, sir. Let me help you, ma'am. We are all servants of the Most High God. There. Now you fulfilled that purpose. Now let's get to the real task, what you're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm not called to preach. I didn't say you had to be called to preach. You may be called to write a book. You may be called, amen, to open up the next charter school that is going to turn around children that have been forgotten. Everybody else has been trying to deal with these type of children, but God has given you the vision and given you the wisdom that breaks the code or that breaks through to those children so that they can learn, that they can become whole. You don't know what God is going to do. You're focused on one thing. That's why I said we're too busy trying to do professional makeovers, professional Christian makeovers. Excuse me. And we're trying to become something that God never intended for us to become. And as we're working on doing that, we're getting further and further away from him. I know my message is not going to be for everybody. I know my preaching style is not going to be for everybody. It took me a while to understand that. It did, because I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be accepted just like everybody else. It's just in our nature to just want to be liked and well-received. That's just how mankind is made. We want to be well-received. We want to be loved and liked by everybody. However, I realize that the message that he has given me, the purpose, the call that he has given me, you're not going to be loved by everybody. You're not going to be received by everybody. Some people hear your voice and they're like, oh, it's just something in your voice I can't stand. I don't want to deal with that. Well, okay. And I have to accept that. But I do believe that someplace, somewhere, the gospel will be preached to you and you will receive it from somebody that is more palatable to receive. But I want to say for this, if you are called by him, and he did, and you're made in his image and for his glory and his purpose, which you are, he said, and now the people who are called, or my people who are called by my name, amen, will humble themselves. Oh, what? That word humble by itself leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Because we're all about brag, and more brag. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've built. Look at who I am. Look at how far I've become. See me for who I am. See how wonderful I am. See my kingdom. See my righteousness. Don't you want to become like me? These are the steps that you have to follow to become like me. When the Bible strictly says, my people, those that are called by my name, will humble themselves. The only person that needs to get the glory is God. Everything that you have is because God did it. Everything that you got is because God did it and gave it to you. Every ounce of favor that you receive is because of God. Now, where the trick of the enemy comes in is that anything that God does for you, he brings you closer to him. anything that the enemy does, he pushes you further away from him. And the sad thing is that for many people, amen, even in this hour, are honestly believing that God is saying and doing and blessing, but they have gotten off the path of what God has intended for them, and they're going to get a rude awakening when they have to answer for it. And the Bible strictly says that, Lord, Lord, did we not cast demons in your out in your name? Did we not heal the sick? And yet he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Why, you workers of iniquity? Mm-hmm. So you can't get caught up in the lights. You definitely can't get caught up in the strobe lights, and you definitely can't get caught up in all the marketing. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with pushing the vision. You got to push the vision that God has given you. You got to use the tools that are necessary to use. But when you get to the point where you start lying and twisting and everything starts becoming more so motivational than life-changing, more so motivational than the Spirit of God convicting folks of sin, motivational and more making sure that we do these four or five steps and everything comes into place, than people being delivered, more so than people being challenged, huh? More so than people's lives being affected and changed. We got to get back to this thing called humility. Humbleness, humility, down to earth, meek, lowly. And that word, when I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary, it basically says one that is not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive. One that expresses or offered in a spirit of submission. Oh, no, baby, we don't like that word submission. We don't want nobody telling us what to do. We don't want nobody telling us how to do it. We don't want correction in our lives. We don't want to be corrected. We want to tell everybody else how to do it. We want to correct everybody else, but we don't want anybody to correct us. And so that's why we lead bastard lives, because we don't want to allow the Spirit of God in people. Now, the first thing is when the Bible will tell me and the Spirit of God will just tell me, yes, yes, to both of those answers. But however, God will also bring men and women into your lives, bring people into your lives that you have to be held accountable to. We don't want to be held accountable. We want to hold everybody else accountable to our own standards, but not the standards of what the Bible says. True humility can take a cut, can take a correction, and still remain there, and still remain in love, and still be able to not act funny to you, and not have an attitude with you, and not disappear in the cut. Don't nobody see you for 2 or 3 weeks. Huh? This is foolishness. This is mess. You got to grow up, saint. Got to grow up. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will become submissive, James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Didn't say pastor and apostle and the next biggest name. We're too busy running to different places trying to get folks to recognize us so they can throw our name in the hat, and doc, I'm going to take you far. And you know, just tell them I sent you, and it's gonna, you're going to blow up somewhere, and I'm the catalyst. No. It says here in the B clause, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And let me say this on tonight. Everybody is not going to be on national television. Everybody is not going to be on TVN, the Word Network, the Church Channel, and every other channel that's out there. Everybody is not going to be on the national stage. But that does not make you any less significant in the kingdom. And that's where we got to get our focus back. because we're too busy trying to get there in the headline instead of dealing with the people on the front line. Oh, yeah, I'm going to say that again. We have too many people trying to get their name in the headline instead of dealing with the people on the front line. Everybody's not going to be on television, but that does not make you any less effective in the kingdom. Because at the end of the day, I got to know that my name is in the book. In spite of everything else, I have to know that my name, that he is pleased with me and that my name is in the book of life when I stand before him and that I've completed the work. You know my scripture that he has given me. And for some of us, we got to go back and ask God to rehearse to us and remind us again, what was the first work? Because somewhere we got lost in translation. Somewhere we done got off. Somewhere we believed the hype of the prophets and apostles and the pastors. Somebody hyped us and pushed us up somewhere that God never intended for us to go. We made turns down roads that the master didn't tell us to go down. And we need to make a U-turn. And some of you have been frustrated out there. You're frustrated, and it's been a long-term frustration because you keep going around the mountain, around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. You've been doing that for years and years and years. You done dug a trough. Because you've been going around that same mountain. Isn't it time? You have encompassed this mountain long enough. Turn. Repent. That's what the word turn means. Repent. Look to the hill. Talk to God. God, where? I'm sorry. I've been here long enough. I've been riding off of what somebody else told me. You, where? What are your instructions for my life? Get his instructions, get his path, find out what he's really called you to do. Repent, turn, and then get on the pathway. Still time. How do you know? How do I know? Because you're still here. If you're still here and there's breath in your body, that means you still got time. We don't have much time, but we still got time. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, prepare, daughter. I need you to prepare. Prepare not only myself. I got to prepare for this next move that God is getting ready to take me on. He said, but also prepare my people because I'm soon to come through than they believe that I'm coming. So I don't have time to patty cake it. Yes, I say it in love because I don't want nobody to go to hell, honestly. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I'm trying my best to make sure I don't go there either. Because the Bible says we got to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Because we have a lot of people that's going to be doing a whole lot of preaching a whole lot of truth. But they're not living what they're preaching. And they're going to have to give account for that. And I don't want to be one. I don't want to deceive nobody. And I don't want to be deceived. Always been my prayer. So I want to make it in. I'm determined to make it in. But I want to take somebody with me. So I'm challenging all of you tonight, and myself included. Don't think, amen, people of God, that when the man and the woman of God stand up before you and they minister the word, the true men and women of God, that the word that they're ministering does not prick their heart, does not reflect the mirror back and see where the flaws are. You're doing good here, but you need to work on that right there. Yeah, you got this down, but you know what? That don't mean nothing until you get this here. We're all striving. As I press, Paul said, as I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We're all pressing, baby. We are all pressing. Don't get this thing twisted thinking just because they look fabulous today that they just, when we say glided up a crystal staircase. Oh, no. Everybody's pressing. Pressing their way into the kingdom. Because the devil has stepped up his game. He's doing his job. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. You don't need to get mad about it. You don't need to get upset about it. You don't need to sit up here talking about, well, you know, I had. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Our problem is we as the body aren't doing what we're supposed to do. It can't just rely on the twosies and the fusies. We all got to come into the unity of faith here. We all got to get up on the watch wall and get in place. Amen. We all have to get before him and lay down and repent and seek after him. Going right back to the scripture. He said, and if you, my people who are called by my name, will humble themselves, at number one, and pray, number two. We don't pray enough. This 15 minutes, Lord, I thank you. Just touch my mommy, touch my daddy, touch my sister and brother. Lord, I need some more money. Lord, make sure I got a job. Then I also need a car and make sure I do this and make sure I that and bless everybody. And then, you know, Lord, I'm talking about pray. Get down on your face. Cry out to the master. Let him begin to speak to you. Let him bring people to your to your spirit that you need to intercede for. Let people bring a prayer request to you where you can just labor over them and begin to intercede and talk to God about somebody else besides your issues and problems. And I'm going to say this too. And for some of us, we just need to take the burdens of, take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there. You'd have been wrestling, you'd have been fighting, you'd have been fussing and cussing. You'd have been up one day, down the next day. Here it is 10 years later, and you're still talking about, Lord, I don't know. Why, Jesus, why? Because it's out of your hands. You need to let that thing go. Change your attitude in the situation. Give it to Jesus. Commit your ways. Remember that passage of scripture I read last week, the other week before? Commit your ways unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord. Trust in him. You're struggling with that because you think that your way is better than God's way. Trust in him. Leave your marriage there. Leave your child there. Leave your finances there. Or whatever the issues that may be bothering you, leave them. Commit your way unto him. Trust him. He'll make sure you come out on top. Pray and seek his faith. I'm going to let that sit for just a second. Because the reality for some of us, we're seeking everybody else's faith but his faith. We're seeking everybody's word. You know I'm telling the truth. We go into every Bible study. We're trying to go to every revival. We're trying to get our faith in every conference. We're trying to get our faith in all these quote-unquote top stars, top gospel superstars' faith so we can get a word. Trying to get our faith in every prophet and apostle's faith or every pastor that has anybody who has a prophetic gift. We're trying our best to get into their faith talking about, what do you have a word for me? What is my word? I need a word. Well, baby, let me help you. If you get into his faith and seek his faith, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may yet be found. Call to him while he is near. This passage of scripture, pray and seek my faith. Don't come with no hidden agenda. Don't come with no, I need a word, but you looking for a specific word. God is sovereign. You just may get what he's going to give you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And so quit frustrating you. Let me help you. Quit frustrating yourself. Quit trying to follow after all these people, running up your gas, using your rent money to pay for conferences that you can't even afford to be at. using up the kids' lunch money, trying to give in offerings that you have no business giving in because you're looking for this word from the Lord. When he said, seek my face, because let me help you. Perfect prophecy 101. Whenever God speaks his word to you, he speaks it to you first, and then we, the prophets, come and confirm. Anything that happens, even when certain prophets, big-name prophets that we talk about, even when they begin to speak over our life, it's already something that you already know about, that you're already dealing with. But sometimes we're not quiet enough. We don't trust enough. Our spirit's too wild that we don't get ourselves quiet before him and let him speak to us. Because let's face it, everything God says is not happy, happy, joy, joy. Yes, there's times he's going to say, hey, it's going to be all right. Hey, going to bless you right here. This going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. It's all great. But then there's going to be times he's just going to tell you the flat out of the truth about it. Why you keep doing this, and I talk to you about that, and you just plain being disobedient, and you being disrespectful over here, and when was the last time you prayed to me, and how long are you going to keep coming to me talking about this issue? See, we don't want to hear that. We don't believe, oh, our God can speak to us like, oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he will. He'll get right up in your face if he has to. And that's what I love about him. Because as we all, as we like to say it in the world, let's be real, fit real. I like a God that's 100% real. Can't ask for nothing left. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He said, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn and repent, turn. Flip the script, turn from their wicked ways. In other words, you got to make an effort up in your mind that I've just had just about enough of this. See, some of us, we ain't sick enough of what we're doing. We're not sick enough of where we are. We're not sick enough of what the devil's doing. We're not sick enough of what we allow. There was a song that Ashanti used to sing, and there's a verse in it when she used to be with Gotti and all of them. It says, the things that we accept are the things that we regret. The things that you accept, the things that I accept, are the things that we regret. In other words, it was okay and it was cute then because you thought you can handle it. You can handle it. I got this. It's all right. It just happens every once in a while. It's okay. It's cool. Well, here it is 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, and that thing got you by the throat for air. It wasn't cute then, and it sure ain't cute now. It's what you accepted back then. So now God is saying, after you pray, after you humble yourself, after you pray, after you seek my face, he's after you do all that, then you got to make up in your mind that you need to turn from some things, turn from some people, turn from some situations, turn from some backbiting, turn from some secret things. That word turn, let's look it up in the dictionary. What does that mean, huh? That word turn means to cause to change position, to cause to move around, to think over, to revolve mentally. In other words, to ponder. That word turn. To cause a retreat even. To cause a change, this is really what I like, to cause a change of position by moving. So some things you got to move. They're not going to move. So quit trying to sit there and wait it out, style, having a stare contest all about, no, you move, no, you move. No, no, you move first. No, you move. No, you know what? You need to, whatever's left, I'm going to leave it all right here. I'm going to leave it right here, and I'm packing up excuses. I'm going to excuse myself. I'm about to help me. I'm going to help me live. I'm going to go. And for some of you out there, you need to say that to certain people. You need to say that around certain situations, certain cliques and clubs you ain't around. You need to excuse yourself and make a turn around. Oh, yes, you do. You need to turn. You need to change position. And I bet you if you do that, it would be the best sleep you had in a long time. The best sleep you've had in a long time because you turned. It's nothing like being in a relationship, male or female, in a relationship. When you get sick and tired, when you get fed up with that thing, I'm going to use this analogy real quick because all of us ain't been saved all of our lives, but it's the truth anyhow. R. Kelly wrote a song that said, when the woman's fed up. Same thing, when a man's fed up. When you are fed up, when you are sick and tired of somebody, when you're tired of the game, you're done. You don't care what they do. They can drive up in a brand new Mercedes, paid cash for it. They have the house that I bought you the house you've been dreaming of in your dreams. Could put everything in front of you. When it is over, it is over. Ain't nothing you could say, ain't nothing you could do to bring me back up in here. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm complete. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. And that's what some of us got to get. It's a wrap in my spirit about certain people, about certain things, about certain situations, about mindset, about where we put certain positions we put ourselves in constantly. We got to make that thing a wrap. We got to turn from the wicked way. The weights, the sin, the weights that so easily beset us. We got to make it up in our mind, people of God. He said, after that, then, after you do all those things, after you do all those things, he said, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive the sin, their sin, and I will heal their land. That's a good place to be, people of God. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. We thank you for the word. Help us tonight, Father, to be able to take this word and begin to place it in our spirit and over our lives and begin to walk it out. God, help us to call upon your name, to humble ourselves, to pray and seek your face, to turn from every wicked way, every wicked path that's easily besetting us, so that you will hear from heaven. Forgive us and heal the land. Father, we thank you right now for you're already doing the work in our lives. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Holy Spirit, come into my life, in my heart. Live in me. I will serve you all my days. Amen. If you pray that prayer, man, woman of God, first of all, welcome into the kingdom of God. I promise you, your life will never be the same. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, we pray that you will be led by the Spirit of the Most High God to a Bible-believing and teaching church that's going to mature you and train you in the things of God, and that you too will be a kingdom changer, a kingdom dominator. Listen, our prophetess, Crystal McQueen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org, or go to my Facebook page, find me under Women of Prophetic Destiny. I would love to hear from you. You have a wonderful night. God bless you. And I will see you again next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the Lord.